Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know, over the course of these last 3 or 4 years, you've heard me interview numerous Christian influencers and authors, musicians, business owners, CEOs, in addition to pastors and ministry leaders. And you've heard personal stories of how, especially during this last year or so because of COVID, many have decided to enter into the entrepreneur experience of starting their own business or trying to scale an existing business by going online and reaching more people. And although these are noteworthy achievements and goals, as you grow, there is also increased exposure, not just your marketing exposure, but legally as well, especially if you achieve your dream or goal of truly becoming successful and suddenly find yourself replacing your normal job with your new online career. To help protect you and your family, your business, you need to rely on God, of course, and the love of God will see you through a lot of circumstances you might find yourself in, but you also definitely need to seek out qualified legal advice, an attorney who can guide you and offer advice and services that will ensure you're protected should something happen like that. Well, let's just say they expose you to some type of legal risk. Now, the peace of mind knowing you have put these protections in place may not seem important now, as you're in the process of scaling your business, but they are easier to implement in the beginning than try and play catch up later. My guest today specializes in the area of legal practice. Jay Rizuk is a California business attorney with 10 years experience litigating across 20 states involving legal compliance at Fortune 500 companies. He's also an adjunct professor at La Sierra University and is also the founder of ProScale Legal Coaching and the Secure Scale Method. Jay helps small business owners employ legal strategies to protect their businesses as they scale up to and beyond 7 and 8 figures, but he also specializes in helping them focus on the love of God in doing this, and that is something I'm extremely interested in. Help me welcome to the program, Jay Rizuk. Jay, thank you so much for coming on the program today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Bob, for having me. I'm really excited to be here and just to be able to speak freely with your audience.
Amen. Now, the first question I always ask is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Jay Rizuk?
Oh, just a guy who once dreamed to be president, but then God opened his eyes and realized there's so much spiritual warfare that to be had. But at his core, our greatest weapon is love itself.
Amen. Amen. And I understand, you know, that you would make the decision to become a lawyer. But what made you decide to specialize in business law?
I think it's just in my blood. My dad is Lebanese, and he was in business. All of my brothers have gone into business. One is financial advisor. One is in the HR department, and someone needed to be the business lawyer. So and I loved accounting in college. I liked the math. I liked the rules to it. I liked formulas, just something that's very predictable, you know, X plus Y equals Z. And I loved the law for that same reason, X plus Y equals Z. And it really gives you interesting insight too, when you go back and read the Bible too, and read God's law and just pulling out formulas.
Yeah, amen, amen. And, you know, my college days, accounting was not my major subject. I got the debits and the credits and all that, but, you know, I could not understand how someone could sit there all day looking at these numbers and having them make any sense. When I was doing my homework and stuff and my assignments, it's like everything was just all starting to flow together. My brain could not comprehend that. So and for you to be able to do that and do it from the legal perspective, that says a lot about you. I mean, you're to be commended on that. Praise the Lord.
It's just amazing how God wires all of us to have different brains and to have different skill sets. To me, I just love that aspect of humanity of how God made us.
Yeah, amen, amen. So many people enter into, you know, business ventures as a calling, and they have an anointing or special skill set, as you mentioned, that and it's usually it's in demand, and they're trying to help other people. Have you had anyone come to you who entered into their own business only because they thought it'd be an easy way to make money rather than as a way to bless others?
That's a good question. I usually see it as people go into business because they have a passion. And to me, that is the only right reason to go into a business, because you're passionate about it. There's a problem you see, you want to solve that problem. And those are the people who, you know, will fight to the end for their business. I mean, we all know the stats, right? That most businesses close within the first 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much to business, so many mistakes people can make, but I'm curious to know how much of that is just because people realize that wasn't their passion. And to me, you know, one reason why did I go into law, maybe it's related to that, because I was following my passion and I thought, how will God communicate to me what his plan is? And that was, okay, what am I passionate about? What do I enjoy doing? What seems to build on the skills God has given me? And that has been one of the practices I'm so grateful I did as a younger person to guide me to where I am today.
Yeah, amen, amen. And, you know, to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit like that, you know, that's number one. I mean, you know, yeah, I'd like to go out and make $1 million and, you know, I'd like to sell ink pens to do it, you know, but, you know,
absolutely.
Is that really a calling? You know, I mean, if you ask the big pen company, yeah, that's what they want to do. That's their calling. But, you know, for me to just say, that seems easy, I'll go do it, that isn't usually what the Lord is trying to move you over into, you know. So,
yeah, not the easy path.
Yeah.
Yeah. God uses the challenges, the trials to really improve us and make us better, it seems like.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And, you know, you have a unique calling. I mean, to help others, you know, as we said, especially with your God-given talents and abilities, that's a way to actually love on others, you know, sharing and helping them with your talents to achieve something that they desire. I mean, it could be, you know, a plumber fixing a broken pipe or a concrete worker installing a patio or any such thing, but it's always a calling to help others. How do you guide prospective business owners in that area of following God's calling for their life?
Sorry, could you repeat the question one more time?
You know, no matter what the calling, you know, the business, like I said, it's calling to be a plumber, it's calling to be a carpenter, mm-hmm. calling to be an electrician or a cop, or, you know, I know you work with business CEOs and people who want to start businesses and things like that. How do you guide them as far as, you know, following the calling that God has for their life as they get ready to start mm-hmm. these businesses?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is actually something that I've come to understand more as I've gotten into, like, even taking business coaching, you know, being coached and realizing there is this whole, for lack of a better word, a world out there of coaches who really understand this idea of mentoring people, helping them dive into their passions, dive into what they have mastery of. Or some people might call it the zone of genius. Mm-hmm. And then from there, really hone in on, and not just that, but also your story. What is your experiences? What is the path you've taken and gotten you to where you are that then can be shared with other people? Shared in the sense that other people have had similar experiences to you. And maybe they're not as far down the journey as you, so you can be that guide for them. And to me, this is, when I've been seeing this in the coaching space, it just blew my mind too, when I think of even like the ministerial ramifications of it, you know, where, you know, God has chosen personal testimonies to be one of the primary ways of sharing the gospel. And it's the same thing in business, same thing in marketing, sharing your personal testimonies. Your story is a powerful path of connecting with people and then taking them on the journey that you as a business person want to take them on. And yeah, we need to stop being so much just product-centric to being more the experience-centric or movement-centric. That's what people are really looking for.
Yeah, amen, amen. Yeah, you know, I've studied, you know, Steve Jobs, you know, with Apple and all that. And that's what he focused on in doing his presentations, was not so much, you know, this has this many gigabytes of data and storage and the speed and all, but he talked about the experience. You know, this is going to allow you to do this, you know, and isn't that cool type thing, you know, and that really connected with people, you know, and you know, the same thing in marketing and different things like that. You know, you just can't overwhelm them with, you know, 15 data points, you know, a bullet point. I was out with my wife the other night at a local steakhouse. I won't mention the name, but, you know, when they brought out the steak, it was on these hot silver plates and the steak was still sizzling. Right. And my wife said, yeah, this place's hot. I said, they're selling the sizzle. That's why they just didn't put it on a plate and brought it out. They want you to hear that sizzle and that aroma that's created from it. That's why they do that. They're selling the sizzle on the steak. That's you know, that's exactly what you're talking about, is the story. The story is, we fix this steak and it's hot and it's fresh and it's made just the way you want it and all that. Instead of like, oh, you want steak? Okay, here you go. And they throw this, you know, white ceramic plate down, and it may have been sitting out on the counter for 10 minutes. You don't know, you know, but this steakhouse sells the sizzle. That's their, you know, they don't talk about
exactly.
it, but that's what they're doing. And so that's, that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's this whole culture that you should really build around your business from start to finish, from the first moments you're interacting with a client for the first time with an advertisement or a video or a podcast to you, onboarding them, getting them signed the contract, to what happens after that once they're in your program, once they're using your product. We really need to spend time thinking through that whole experience, and what is that journey you want to take them on? What do you want them to be feeling, experiencing at each point?
That's good. Yeah, that's real good. And what does it look like to apply biblical ideas of love in this modern business context?
And I'm so glad you asked that question next, because I think really queued it up well, because what they should be experiencing, I think, is love. And we'll get into maybe some legal reasons why that's even a good idea. Hmm. But I believe that we as humans were made by God to love and be loved. Like, when we talk about what's the meaning of life, it's to love and be loved. And what is God's law? You know, love is fulfillment of the law. Mm-hmm. That's what we're supposed to do. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were supposed to love each other. They have the relationship with God. And it was just supposed to be this wonderful experience of just enjoying the love of God everywhere. That was what God wanted them to have. And now we're in a world that is suffering with scarcity. We are cut off from the love of God. And, you know, as the Bible's predicted, in these end times, the love of many will wax cold.
Yeah, amen.
People are yearning for love more than ever. And I mean, especially even now, you know, post 2020, where we're isolated, we are masked up, we are probably feeling more isolated than ever before. People need love. Mm-hmm. And love really, I think, should be at the core of your messaging, the core of your contracts, the core of just the way you treat and interact with people. And again, we could talk about implications of, you know, can't love, you know, is love going to hurt me? Is love going to have downsides? Does that really work in the real world? I mean, I'd love to talk about some of those questions too.
Amen. Well, is it possible to share the love of God and be a witness through business? I mean, even though, you know, they're doing these things to make an income from those they're helping, is it ethical to share the love of God through your business?
I believe if we live that love, that is the first connection we can do to open up the door to then saying this love actually came from God. Because we got to first walk the walk before I think we could start talking the Christian talk. Hmm. And I mean, as Jesus said, by how you they shall know you're my disciples by how you love one another. Yeah. Our calling card as Christians should be how we're loving each other. And sadly, when the world looks at us, we usually are a mockery to the world. They see Christians bickering with Christians, Christians hating on this group or that group. And we as just a church, sadly, I feel like I've almost defaced the face of God. Mm. People reject God, but it's really not the real God that they're rejecting. They're rightfully right. rejecting an angry, vengeful, hateful God. If we portrayed the love of God in its proper way, just think how many people just would not wait to go into the church.
Yeah.
And same thing for our businesses. You know, if we were loving everybody around us and people could just think, oh man, these Christians, I can depend on them. I know they're going to care for me. They're going to put my interests first. I know they're going to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would be thriving as a religion. And again, we wouldn't be mocked and ridiculed like in some ways I think we somewhat deserve as a yeah. people. And God would be glorified by that.
Amen. Amen. I know you say that love is the ultimate legal strategy. What do you mean by that?
So it blew my mind one time when we all know this verse, right? The fruit of the Spirit are love, or sorry, is love, joy, peace,
long suffering,
gentleness, goodness, patience. And do you remember how it ends, that verse? After he says self-control.
I don't remember
right. I think most of us forget how it ends. Paul says, against these things, there is no law.
Yeah. Amen.
This is legal Amen. Advice.
There you go. Amen. There you go.
If you're doing these things, you're not going to violate the law. And if you look at our legal system, almost all the laws boil down to don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't kill. Mm-hmm. And we unfortunately have millions of laws, or it feels like millions and millions of laws, depending on how you count it, right? And we're adding more and more and more all the time. It's so complex. Like, attorneys know just slivers of the law. And yet we as people are presumed to know all of it.
Amen.
Ignorance of the law is not an excuse.
Yeah.
And this is where, to me, again, if you contrast God's law with man's law, God's law is so beautiful, so simple, so rational, so it makes so much sense. Man's law, millions of laws just to rehash what God has already given us.
Amen. Amen. That's well
But
put.
If you just...
Amen.
Yeah. And you could just be overwhelmed by the scale, the magnitude of man's law. Yeah. But if you focus on what I call the loving mindset, where you put other people's interests first, where you are willing to make sacrifices, you're willing to take some lumps and bruises, you are going to be patient, you're going to have a happy persona, you are going to be gentle, guess what? I think you're going to avoid a ton of legal problems. Amen. And I see it when I see when I help my clients. Just the tone that you put in an email can either de-escalate a situation or, you know, escalate it and it spins out of control and things get worse. When you look at legal cases, lawsuits that have been filed, there's been so many opportunities where a business could have stepped in, done something different, and resolved the dispute. Mm. But what happens is, and Satan likes doing this, he likes to call it, it's like the laws of Newtonian physics. You know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Mm-hmm. And so one person punches, the next person punches twice as hard, and the next person three times as hard. The only way to break that cycle is with love and then follow Christ's path, where you be willing to maybe take some lumps, maybe be willing to be patient, to listen, hear out that person, be understanding of them. I think that's so important. If we look at Christ's ministry, sometimes people would ask for a certain thing. For example, Lord, please heal me, I'm paralytic. And what would Christ do? He knows first that person is dealing with a forgiveness problem. he has sins, that he feels separated from God. Jesus says, you know, your sins are forgiven first. Mm-hmm. Then he heals that person. Or you go to the leper who has not been touched for who knows how many years. And Lord, he says, Lord, you know, if you're willing, please heal me. What does Jesus say? Just heal him? The first thing he does is he touched him. I mean, that almost brings tears to my eyes every time I hear that story. Christ is going to the need first. And as businesses, you know, sometimes you might have clients who will do things that just seem totally random. Why are they doing this? Why do they suddenly want out of my coaching program? Why do they suddenly now want to return my product? What's going on? Why are they having issues? And the issue might not be with you. If you sit down and listen, maybe they're going through financial hardship. Maybe they're having other problems. And a lot of it is fear-based. It goes back to, we're in a broken world where there is scarcity and people are afraid of being alone, afraid of being hungry, afraid of losing their house, afraid of losing their job, afraid of death. I mean, fear of death is the greatest fear that Satan uses to manipulate us. Mm-hmm. And how do we overcome this? First John chapter 4, exactly. Perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
And I learned this, my wife and I have been filming the documentary on mental health. We filmed over 150 interviews. And this was one of the major revelations that I had doing this. Because so much mental illness, I mean, there's so many different causes, but fear is one of these ways that Satan can take a person down a path of mental illness. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you get in this cycle, this feedback loop of fear just building on fear, love is one of the, from what I've seen from people's testimonies, from listening to experts, love is a powerful remedy that can help do away with this fear, this debilitating fear. So if you have a customer who's panicking, who's in a state of distraught, if you show them love, that might give them confidence, that might give them hope, might give them peace. They might be willing to continue in your program, continue with your product, and the issue can be taken away. But it takes us stepping back, not rushing to judgment. We're being patient. We're being faithful, we're being gentle, and that will open the door to reconciling the dispute very often.
Amen, amen. And a lot of times when the business owner is facing a customer like that, you know, yeah, the business may absorb the cost of, you know, whatever has to be replaced or exchanged or returned or whatever, but that also helps to generate some loyalty from the customer. Because you didn't argue with them and, you know, well, I'll do it this time, I'm not going to do it again type thing. You know, so by showing love, you're also drawing them towards you. It may not be right now, but later.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic point. I mean, really, I see these disputes, or even if you as a business or person make a mistake, this is an opportunity to forge a better relationship. If you own the mistake, you do what's right. Yeah, now you have again potentially made a lifelong customer, because it's how you handled it that really matters. Unfortunately, we've gotten into this mindset that we have to be perfect all the time. Like, licensed professionals are burning out because, you know, everybody expects perfection 100% of the time. I mean, attorneys hate their life because of this. Doctors, you know, are just quitting early. It's really unfortunate that we don't, as a society now, say, yes, you're a human, you're going to make mistakes. It's how you handle it that really matters. But at least when you run your own business, you can do it that way. You can own your mistakes, or even if you're not at fault, again, take that lump. As Paul says, why not be wronged? Because if you, yeah, take that punch, the person now realizes there's an inequality. They're expecting you to punch back. But if you take that hit, you have created a bond, created a connection that will steal that relationship. Because again, we want to love and be loved. It's painful for everybody to sever a relationship. When it comes to an employee who feels taken advantage of by a business, like, usually things have to go pretty far before they get to the point where they muster the energy, the frustration to go find a lawyer and speak to them. Most people don't want to go finding a lawyer and walking away from their employment. Things have to get pretty bad to get to that point usually.
Yeah.
Same thing with customers. Who wants to waste their time filing complaints with the government or seeking out lawyers? Mm-hmm. You have to be pretty bad to get to that point.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yep.
And so you have the ability to continue that relationship, even past mistakes.
Amen. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this great interview with Jay Razook. Hey, folks, if you learned anything from this portion of the interview, it's that you need to protect yourself. And the number one way to protect yourself, not just with an attorney that helps you, but as Jay has been sharing, the love of God. The love of God cures all ills, right? I mean, if you come at your business and dealing with your clients with the love of God and be willing to, as Paul says, suffer loss just to maintain that relationship, folks, you're going to have customers for life, right? And that's what it's all about, building your customer base, because they'll be there for you in the hard times as well. And Jay, through his ProScale legal coaching and the SecureScale method, he is helping you to do just that. I want to encourage you to go down into the show notes, click the links, check out Jay's website, check out his coaching program, and he's even included a link to a video for some clauses in your client agreement and how to save thousands on legal costs. This video is well worth the time. It's a short video. Just go down there and check it out, because you'll be blessed that you did. Now, be sure you come back for the next portion of the interview, because Jay's going in depth on this teaching, and it's the conclusion of this excellent two-part interview. So until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.